So we're going to be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. And over the next couple of months, we're following a theme called Kingdom Builders. And part of what we're doing here at LMC, if you're here this morning, you're a kingdom builder. Amen. You may not think you are, but you are. What kingdom are you building? You're building your own kingdom. Yeah, half no, half didn't. Yeah, that's good. We're building God's kingdom, aren't we? The kingdom of God. And you know, we don't do that on our own strength, but God empowers us and equips us to build that kingdom. And we do that as a church, as a body of Christ, that Christ gave us this body here because he believed this body of people here can be transformative. Amen. He has great faith, doesn't he? Isn't it incredible that God has faith in us and he can give us that faith? That he believes in you, he believes in us. That we can be kingdom builders, that we can bring an experience of God's kingdom on earth, where people can experience the glory of God, a transformative experience, not religion, I mean transformative experience, to say, Jesus, reveal who you are to me and put it in my heart so that I might have that faith that only comes from God to know this is real and true and live it and believe it. Amen. And from the very fact when we're talking about spiritual gifts, faith is a spiritual gift. It comes from God. So if you don't have enough faith, what do you do? Amen, brother. Amen. You ask for more faith. So who wants more faith? Me. Yeah, more people. Yeah, amen. I said, if you didn't put your hand up, you need to pray, okay? You really need to pray if you didn't put your hand up, okay? So God will give you the faith. You know, I have faith in God. But it doesn't come from me, it comes from God. In faith, you know, when we think about it, we think it's believing something. But when they talked about faith in Hebrew, it was believing in something that could transform and change. It was believing in action. Faith was belief in a God who could change and transform, and a God who would do what he said he would do. Faith was action. When we believe in Christ, we decide to take an action. We decide to step out in faith. We decide to believe that God is who he says he is. And God will do what he says he will do. And God comes to tell us that whoever confesses Jesus Christ as God, as Lord, is a child of God. And John's gospel starts that way. When you believe, you become a child of God. Isn't that amazing? And so the first part of faith, we have to believe who we are. Do you believe who you are? You know, my mum and dad's called Bill and Kathy. People got upset because I call them Bill and Kathy all the time. So you call them mum and dad, it's disrespectful. But I always call them Bill and Kathy. You go to a supermarket, you shout mum and dad, everybody looks round, don't they? You only got a few Bills and Kathys, you know. And, you know, but, you know, forever they are my parents. And I'm very grateful they fed me and brought me up and gave me a home. But I'm a child of God. You know, I'm happy for what they gave me and what they fed into me. But actually, a lot of the stuff they gave me, I reject. I say, I don't want that in my life. And actually, you keep that. That's your issues. I'm a child of God, and I want to live in supernaturally and powerfully in the Spirit of God, transformed and healed, and my character being shaped into that of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's when faith becomes exciting, when you know who you are. And when you know who you are, you can step out in it. And it doesn't matter if you're rejected, hurt, broken. It doesn't matter if you share your faith with people. It doesn't matter what they say to you, because you know who you are. I'm a child of God. You can tell me whatever you like. You can say whatever you like, but I am a child of God because I know who I've believed in. I know who I've put faith in, and I know who I walk with in the power of his Spirit. I don't walk a natural life. I walk a spiritual life. Amen. Or I try to most of the time. And so a spiritual life is walking in the things that God wants to bless us with, not what the world wants to give us. but what God wants to bless us with. And God wants to bless us with anointing in His Spirit. That's anointing that comes upon us, that gives us a mandate and a task. And saying, God says, I put this upon your life and gives you a passion for it. Go and do it. Believe it. He seals us with His Holy Spirit that tells us who we are, that we're a child of God. And He gives us gifts. Amazing, isn't it? He gives us gifts and abilities. I have no gifts and no abilities. So I have to trust God fully for any gifts and abilities. And you're all going, yeah, we know. You know, it's a way some of you are musical and got so many talents. You know, I can't even speak English. You know, I have the gift of interpretation for my congregations. You know, it's incredible. So we come here. You know, it's what God does in us, isn't it? And that gives you great freedom to know it's what God gives in you. It's what God calls you. If God calls you a prophet, God calls you an apostle, a teacher, a pastor, a worker of miracles. Imagine that. Yeah, God's, oh, here's a worker of miracles. Amen. Yeah, I get church counseling Tuesday. That'll be a good one. But it's God who gives us these things, and God can give us an abundance, and we think somehow we've got to work for them and do things for them, and we've got to try hard and do things. And God says, well, just seek me. Just ask me. What? You want healing? Ask me. You want to prophesy? Ask me. You want to get a word of knowledge? Ask me. It's quite simple, really. Desire it. Hunger after it. Pray for it. Seek it. Live in it. Act it out. Do it. Be who you are. Be who I've declared you to be. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1, talks about us being the body of Christ. And like a body, we need many parts to work, don't we? If one part of your body is not working, it's not very comfortable, is it? It limits you. If you try everything with your mouth, it's quite difficult. You need hands and arms and legs, and things are quite useful. So like a body, we have many parts. And just like you're here today, that you are many parts of the body of Christ here at LMC. And we can't build the kingdom of God unless we have each single one of you here. Do you know you've been brought here for a purpose and a reason? You don't know why you're here, but God brought you here. He's brought you here because He needs you to be His body in this place. He's given you giftings and abilities that He can use to build His kingdom. Not the church, but build the kingdom. And He's raising up people in this community to do incredible things. And He's raising up gifts within you that you could never imagine that you ever had or could do or be. Isn't that incredible? And as He builds this supernatural kingdom here, which every one of us has to play a part in, if I can get my first slide up. I think He gave me the controller. This is, you know what? It's I found out it's much easier to raise the dead and heal the sick than put a PowerPoint. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but 3 days it took me to do 4 slides. It was incredible. I try my best, really, but I'll stick to raising the dead. I think that'll get better results. But, you know, we're not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. You are a move of God. God's put you in this community to be a move. A transformational person. A person walking in the Holy Spirit. A person walking in goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, love, peace, kindness. A person who's fruitful and shows all the goodness of God in their life. But also a power person empowered with gifting. And so in chapter 12, it says, you don't have to put it up, Nigel, just leave the slide up. I'll read it out. It says, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, there's Bibles there in the pews and stuff if you want to follow. It says unity and variety. Now, in regard to spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. Who's ignorant of spiritual gifts? Just one hand there. That's good. We're pretty, come on. In the modern church today, we're pretty ignorant of spiritual gifts, aren't we? We're not fully aware of the gifting that we have, that God has given us the ability to do. I mean, it's like, I love in John Wesley, in one of his sermons, he says, you know, after the 3rd century, you can see that the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the miraculous gifts, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing, and such things, that started to decrease after the 3rd century. In some churches, they call that cessationism, the miraculous gifts of God stopped. But Wesley says, John Wesley says, we don't believe that as Methodists. We believe that God's gifts carry on. The problem was that as the church moved on to become the religion of the Roman Empire, and Emperor Constantine took over, then the church dried up. It became a religious institution of liturgy and actions and other things. And the power of the Spirit became second to the institution. And Wesley said what happened was the church waxed cold. So the church became apathetic and satisfied with religion and satisfied with putting idols and worshipping God and worshipping statues and doing things like this rather than worshipping the living God, rather than moving as a body together in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church waxed cold. Are we a church that wants to be waxed cold? Or do we want to be a church of some fire, living in power, living in anointing, that when people come in here, they see people empowered by the Holy Spirit, confident children of God, knowing that they're part of a body, part of a kingdom, people who are building God's glory and God's purpose in this place? That's what we want, isn't it? Not wax cold. So we want to shake that cold wax off, don't we? We want to get that light back on the candle and start melting that wax, so when people come, they go, whoa, that's bright. Whoa, that bunch of finger. Oh, that wax is going to hold the carpet again. We want to be wax warm, don't we? We want to be wax melting. We want to be in fire bubbling over with the power of God. We don't want to be ignorant to what God can do in our lives, do we? We don't want to be ignorant to the spiritual gifts. We don't want to be ignorant to the Holy Spirit in our lives. That time's gone. That time's over. This society's dying. They don't know God, and they don't know. They don't need wax cold Christians. They don't need cold religion. They don't need dead things. They need people who are alive and know who they are in God and moving in the power of the Spirit. Amen. I'm preaching to myself, people, you know. So don't think I'm getting it. I'm preaching to myself because I need to be that as well. We all need to be that, don't we? So we've got to stop being ignorant to what God is going to do. We've got to start to become that move of God. You know how when you were pagans, I like that bit, I'll just stop there. Have a think. You know that when you were pagans, when you weren't Christian, so when you weren't Christian, when you didn't know the reality of God in your life, when you lived with tarot cards and crystals and fortune readers, and when you looked to other spiritual things to give you meaning and understanding, only found emptiness and disaster and deceit. You were constantly attracted and led away by false and mute idols. Amen. You were led away by things that were telling you this can have spiritual insight, this can give you knowledge, this can give you understanding, but you were led astray, and they led you to selfishness and self-destruction and self-need and self-desire. It was all about you rather than about God. Therefore, I tell you that nobody speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So you can never say anything that doesn't glorify God or Jesus when you're moving in the power of the Spirit. when you're moving in the power of the Spirit, you're always glorifying Jesus. You're always proclaiming His name. You're always saying how good He is, how wonderful He is, how powerful the name of Jesus, how beautiful is the name of Jesus. When you've got the Spirit, you can't not but acclaim and bless and say, wow, Jesus, He's just amazing. It's a bit like Vanessa. You'll see her t-shirt out there. Everywhere she goes, she's got yay, Jesus on it. You know, and everywhere you're going around people, she's going to people, yay, Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? Have you talked about Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ in your life? Do you know who He is? Isn't that exciting, isn't it? Yay, Jesus. You can't, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't but utter, yay, Jesus. Jesus, You're amazing. Jesus, You're wonderful. Jesus, You're the reason for my life, my salvation. I can't live without You, Jesus. You can't be going around the Spirit saying, oh, well, this Jesus bloke, he's let me down, you know. He's kind of, I'm a bit disappointed. Wasn't that great, you know? Yeah. Could have had a better Jesus, really, you know. You can't say those things by the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God says to you, wow. Excuse me. He is amazing. He is incredible. He is the Lord of Lords. What a beautiful name He is. And there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. You see, there's only one Spirit. But there's different giftings. And we're all different. You know, I'm an introvert. You know, I quite like my quiet and my space. Yeah. People laugh. But honestly, when I started preaching, my upper lip used to go... I used to shake and I used to be... But I don't stand up here because it's my natural ability. My natural inclination is to be introverted. The Holy Spirit makes me otherwise. To my detriment or your gain, I don't know. But I stand up here and do this because of the Spirit of God. I don't claim anything for doing this in my own power and strength, but by the gifting that God has given me, that animates me, that makes me want to glorify the name of Jesus. The first time I preached in Irvine in a Methodist chapel where John Wesley preached, and I had to go and do my first prayer there, and I was shaking like mad. I was so glad when that prayer was over. But God takes you and He shakes you and He makes you and He molds you, and His Spirit comes upon you and transforms you, and He glorifies you that you might glorify His name. Amen. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. So there's one Spirit, but there's different gifts. So don't be, if you're not an evangelist, don't worry. God's got another gift for you. You know, there's many gifts that God can use. There's lots of gifts. So don't worry, not everybody's an evangelist. Not everyone's a prophet. Not everyone's a preacher. But administration and service and all these things are just important. Cleaning the church and doing these things. There are all these different parts of being the body which are vitally important. So there are different forms of service, but the same Lord. Because when you serve, you're glorifying the same Lord, isn't it? When I preach, I'm glorifying my Lord. When you clean the church, you're glorifying the Lord. When you put the chairs away, you glorify the Lord. When you share the gospel with somebody, you're glorifying the Lord, not yourself. When you do pastoral care, you're glorifying the Lord. When you're a steward, you're glorifying the Lord. Everything's about glorifying Jesus. Everything that we do, everything matters, everything's important. There's all these different services, but we serve the one Lord, the one purpose, the one goal, to build His kingdom, to bring glory to Him, that people might declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we all play that part, don't we? You're all important. Get it in your head. You're all important. You're all valuable. He's called you here to be a body in motion, in action, and for one purpose and for one goal. And we just have to decide to be intentional and to work for that purpose and goal together, don't we? And that goal is to glorify Jesus Christ in this community, that people may declare Him as Lord and say, I want to know Him. And praise Lord, more and more people are coming and saying they want to know Jesus. Amen. Yeah, we're seeing God moving. Some Methodist churches haven't seen people come to salvation in 20 years, 30 years and generations. Yet we're seeing it happening here. Pray harder, pray more. We want to see more people come. Amen. Amen. Oh, wow, you're waking up. Praise the Lord. I'm getting tired now and you're waking up. Oh, whoa. Oh. They are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. So there's different things that we can do, but God produces them in you. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. It's like we're praying in the prayer room this morning and they were saying, oh, who's leading the service? And I said, the Holy Spirit. And then Rob says, who's the Holy Spirit going to manifest through? I said, I guess that'll be me. But it's the Holy Spirit leading, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit's work. Whatever you do, whether you're a treasurer, whether you're doing the administration, it's the Holy Spirit who enables you and gifts you to do that and uses it for His purpose and His glory. It's Him that manifests through you to make what's possible in this place. Everything's important. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. You see, it's for benefit, you know, to benefit the body, to benefit the whole, to benefit the community, to benefit the world, to benefit the building of God's kingdom. It's always beneficial. Always makes a difference. Always helps. I know it's easy to become downtrodden and feel like you're just doing a task for the sake of it. But if you're not doing a task for nothing, you're doing a task to build God's kingdom, to glorify Christ in your life. It's not about us, it's about Him, isn't it? To one is given through the Spirit the expression, a word of wisdom. To another, the word, a word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. Another one, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the one Spirit. To another, works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, variety of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as the Spirit wishes. Remember that bit? The Spirit gives the gifts as He wishes. So don't look to somebody else and think, why have they got that gift and I haven't? You know, because the Spirit decided to give them that gift, and the Spirit's giving you a gift, different gifts. Ask the Spirit what my gift is. So it's not about what one person's doing and another person's doing, but it's about saying, Holy Spirit, what do you desire to give me? What do you want to anoint me with? What gift do you want to give me for that I might glorify Christ in my life? And be it whatever, be it something you're happy with or unhappy with, get on and glorify Christ. And if you're not unhappy, if you're unhappy with it, then it says in the Bible, desire the greater gifts, seek after them, pray after them, fast, ask God and say, God, I want to do a miracle worker. Come on, God, fill me with it. Let me do it. You know, seek after things. Become hungry. Are you hungry for spiritual gifts? Yeah, three are here. Yes, the rest are too excited. They can't, they're expressionless. They're just going, this is so shocking. Oh, I can't move. Oh. But desire them. Hunger for them. Be in God's presence. You know, it's lovely we pray in church, but the gifting, the power, the anointing comes when we're in home, when we're beside our beds on our knees praying and seeking to God and crying out. And how you worship in your home, how you pray beside your bed, how you pray on your knees, how you pray weeping and glorifying God will be manifested here. And if you're not weeping at home on your bed, you're not going to be weeping here, are you? And so it starts with you individually on your knees, seeking God, asking for more. God, give me your Holy Spirit more. Give me greater faith. Give me more gifting. God, I desire this gift, but if it's not for me, then fine. But give me a gift. Give me something wonderful, incredible that I might build your kingdom. I'm going to use my PowerPoints because I did them, so I don't want to waste them. So, whatever. So I've put up there, it's not a great, it was yellow, but I couldn't do much about it. So spiritual gifts fill our lives. And we look at spiritual gifts, there's quite a lot when we look at them. We have apostleships, being apostles, those people who are in leadership and direction, who are taking the church forward in vision, who are leading the kingdom forward. People who help. Help's an important spiritual gift. A lot of things we couldn't do unless people help. Just go on the background and do the task and do the things that need to be done so the evangelists and the prophets and the apostles and the people given words of knowledge can go on with it and do it. Helps are so important. We can't really do what we do without people helping and doing the tasks in the background. Words of wisdom. Evangelism, miracles, healing, faith, pastoring, administration, discernment, words of knowledge, teaching, hospitality, exhortation, tongues, interpretation, leadership, and mercy. Isn't that wonderful? So is anything there people don't want and you don't think you have there? Have a look and see. Now let's move on to the next one. And as I say, it's all for God's glory, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Every time we use our gifts, every time we move in the Spirit, every time we choose to be intentional for God and walk for him, we do it to build up his body. Yeah. When you use your spiritual gift, you build me up. You build this community up. You build people around you up. When you pastor, when you evangelize, when you care, when you help, you're building up. You're increasing. You're blessing. You're bringing hope. Isn't that incredible? So glorify God and builds up the community. And when you don't use your gift, you're not building the community up. So that's why you've got to use your gift, because the community will die if you don't use the gifts that God has given you and the Spirit that is upon you to build this kingdom in this place. Be it through the many activities we've got in the church or in the community or through evangelism, whatever it is, if you don't use it, the church is going to die. If we're not ignorant to God's gifts, it's one thing if you're ignorant, isn't it? We can teach you and we can help you. But if you choose not to use them, then you're choosing to be disobedient to God and not to build his body. That's so wrong, isn't it? Surely that's wrong. So we've got to use those gifts to build up this community or we'll die. Go to the next one. And different gifts, equally important to be used in the context of the community. You're part of a body when you change. I think that's a good quote. You are part of a body. When you change, the whole body changes. Amen? And that's what we want to experience. We want to change. I want to change. I want you to change. And the power of the Holy Spirit, so this whole community might change, that we might not be wax cold, but we will be warm and moving in the spiritual gifts of God. And I've got one more. Aha. So how do you know your gifts? Observations. Look around. You saw the different gifts in the Bible, all the things that can be done from helps. So observe. Look at, think what you might want to do. Think what God's calling you to do. Say, that doesn't look hard. Gary's a rubbish preacher. I'm sure I could do much better than that. So you think, I'm going to go up next week and shove him out of the way. So and use that gift. I'm sure there's people up here who are going to be international preachers, surely. Yeah? Going to be amazing preachers that pass anybody who's ever preached in this church before. I believe that. You don't? See, observe. There's affirmations. People will say, I think you've got that gift. But if you don't understand that you're a child of God, it doesn't matter how many times I say to you, you've got that gift, you're going to say, I'm not worthy, I can't do it, it's too much, and I'm not sure, what will people think? Who cares what people think? What does God think? In the end, you're not going to be standing in front of me at Judgment Day. You're going to be standing in front of God. And God's going to say, what did you do with that spiritual gift that I gave you? And what are you going to say? Oh, well, Big John was always looking at me strange, and I felt uncomfortable to use my gift, so yeah, I did use it. Oh, man. I'm sure God's got a big rugby post. He's just going to kick us all through. I've heard that one 12 million times now. Boom! Through the heaven, through the rugby posts. Amen. That's the So our bottom's on fire, you know. But affirmations, if people are saying to you, you've got a gift, test it, try it. Try it out and see what God's going to do with it. Don't be afraid. If it doesn't work, don't worry. If you feel you've got the gift of healing, you know, simple, you pray. Can I pray for your healing? It's not hard work, you know. If you're an evangelist and you're going to help you, yay, Jesus. Can I talk to you about Jesus? Have you ever considered about Jesus in your life? I mean, this is what Vanessa met Kiri here, and Kiri was Vanessa's hairdresser. So you don't mind me telling the story. I always tell stories in sermons, so don't tell me if you don't want to. But Vanessa had just become a Christian a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, wasn't it now? And then she went to her hairdresser, who was Kiri, and saw Kiri, and Kiri was kind of doing Vanessa's hair, wasn't sure where she was. And Vanessa goes to said, "I think God's telling me you should come to church with me and find Jesus in your life." And Kiri's going, "Do you know what? I've been thinking about going to church for ages." God's amazing, isn't he? Yeah, it's just, you know, it's amazing how God could connect and make things happen. It's, you know, but if Vanessa had been afraid and think, "Oh, what will Kiri say? Oh, she might tell me to get lost, and I'm not going to say it." But she said it. Isn't that great? Isn't it? Shouldn't it give us boldness as Christians? You know, we're sort of being caught in this little church bubble all for years and years, and we're all terrified about what the world thinks about us and what they'll do if we talk about Jesus. But there's loads of people there. I'm not going to jump because last time I killed myself. So they're going to do this. But I'm going to do this so I don't jump. So there's lots of people out there who want to know about Jesus and waiting for evangelists to go and tell them about Jesus. And there's evangelists in this church who, if they accept that gift of the Spirit upon them, affirm it and go and actually have a passion for it and do it and don't worry about the rejections and just say, "I'm a child of God. I have to tell people about Jesus because I have a spirit in me that goes on fire. And if I don't tell people about Jesus, I'm going to be so disappointed because I've got this passion to tell people about Jesus." So what do? You're obedient. And you tell people about Jesus. And if the more you're obedient to God, the more God will bless you and increase your spiritual gift. The more God will anoint you and the more God will give you opportunities. But if you're disobedient, what will happen? God will find someone else. He'll find a rock if he has to. He will find somebody else. So we have to be obedient to that calling, that gift in our life, and do it. And make it happen. And I know God's given you a passion for something. I can't see at the moment, but I'm sure he's given you a passion for something. And he's put that in your life. And you know that. And it's time to step out in faith. It's time to stop worrying about what other people think about you and worry about what God thinks about you. He loves you and he wants you to use these giftings in the church. He needs apostles. He needs prophets. He needs pastors. He needs teachers. He needs helps. He needs administrators. He needs sound people. He needs people working with the junior church and the kids. Is it not disgusting in any church that we don't have enough people to work with the children, a next generation to teach them about Jesus Christ? You know, we're letting the children go there without having enough people to go and teach them about who God is. Surely that should be a big investment for our life, to teach the next generation. You know, they're surrounded by so many things in the world and they've got an opportunity to come to church and hear about Jesus and we don't give them it. We need to make sure that they are moving. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There is no junior Holy Spirit. There's only Holy Spirit. And they can move those kids in the gift of the Holy Spirit as much as we can. And we have to encourage them from a young age to be praying for healing and power and words of knowledge just as we are. But we've got to step out and model it to them and show them how it can be done. So are you ready, church? I'm going to finish if you say you're ready. So you ready, church? Ready. Amen.